No. Yeah. I'm not even joking. There, and I'm not a big water drinker, but there was this radio show a long time ago when the Wii first came out, the game system, and they were doing a contest because they were so hard to get. It was called Hold Your Wii for a Wii, and they had two people who drank like 5 gallons of water, and the first person who would go to the bathroom lost, right? Well, the one person who won literally died and drowned after she drank 5 gallons of water. She like went home, happy day, everything was good, drowned. I'm like, how is that possible? It's so sad. It was really like terrible. It was bad. It was really bad, but it was just like, I'm like, wow. So that was my little water. Now, I mean, I just because we're both drinking water and I had to kind of wait till, I had to let my tablet charge as best as possible. So. It just happened to be because there was water in sight. Okay. So moving on now to the good news and what happens at this point in time in service. So thank you guys. I just want to pray real quick and we'll get right into it. Amen. Amen. So thank you, God. We thank you for everyone who's here, made it here safely today, God. We thank you that, Lord, your word is truth, God. We thank you, God, that you have given it to us, God, to continue to edify us and continue to encourage us and lead us and direct us, God, and that we thank you for what it provides to us, God, and how it continues to grow and mature us, Father. So, Lord, I pray that this word would be yours, God, and that it would be your words alone, Father, and I pray most importantly, God, that it would find fertile soil in our hearts today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're still going to be continuing this process of talking about how God delivers, right? But this is not a deliverance message. So we're not talking about like casting out anything. I'm just letting you know that's not this message. We're talking about actually like delivery, like, you know, pizza delivery, right? You know, we talked about it kind of getting the ball rolling on the introduction last week, you know, using Caleb, right? And how Caleb believed God, because he had seen a pattern throughout his time, right, that God would say, right, and Moses would come out, and he would tell everybody what happened, and then all of a sudden, God did it, right? And so he sees this over and over and over and over and over again, and it gets to the point where it's like, okay, well, go spy out the land, right? And they go spy out the land, and they come back, and all the guys are like, oh, no, you don't understand. All these people over there and these giants and all this stuff, it's terrible. We're not going to be able to do it. And Caleb's like, God said we have this land that's ours. We can take it because God said. And God has always said and done what he said. He was literally making that claim based on one facet, that God has delivered every time he said he would do it. So if God promised them the land, then so be it. It didn't matter if there was one person who walked in there, everybody would just go, ah! And run. God wins. We don't have to figure it out, right? That's what we learned. That's what we learned. We don't have to try to come up with the explanation and the rationale as to how God's going to do it. We just need to believe that God's going to do it, right? That's what we learned. All right. So now we've seen that in Caleb. He marched out in faith because of what God has done. Today, though, for us, do we do that? Not so much, right? Right? The difference between then and now, okay, is what we're going to focus on today, all right? When we see what God has been doing, and this is kind of the big part, if you spend a lot of time in God's Word, which is down here, when you spend a lot of time and you study God's Word, and I don't mean just reading it for the story, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really looking and connecting the dots from book to book to book to book. There's dots and there's things that connect. And when you study that and you really start to figure it all out, God shows you something. And what he shows you is how he has been faithful from the very beginning to current, today. He has not changed. He is the same as he was then as he is today. And because of who he is and how he operates, we have one thing we can always count on. And that is God. We can count on God, okay? But we don't always understand or comprehend how or what's going on, all right? And there's the problem. when we have that little bit of, I don't want to say confusion, but when we have that little bit of not comprehending everything that God's doing, what do you think fills in that void? Sometimes it's our thoughts, sometimes it's just situations, stuff that goes on in the world, attacks of the enemy, who only needs just one little spot to toss that little TNT dynamite in there and blow everything out of whack. Doesn't take much, right? And when he does that, he keeps us distracted. Because now we're focused on the mess. We're focused on what's happening right now, right? I just came out of a situation where both my toilets broke, my well was being dug, and my hot water tank explodes. Like, everything to do with water in my house was just gutted out of my house. Okay? Everything. All in like, what? A 2 week span? I mean, you can't have a bigger dynamite stick go off in your life. So how easy is it to get focused and frustrated on what's going on there and lose sight of something God's trying to do? So what's going on? Right? We have to take a bigger step back, right? Do you have, you ever have like that, I forget what it was. It was like the photo mosaics. Anybody ever know what those photo mosaics are? Where there's just a bunch of little photographs, right? And they're all tied in. And you can get real close and you can see the individual photographs. But when you take a giant step back and you look at it across the big scape, it changes. All those photos come together to make a big picture. It's like a portrait of somebody or something, right? Well, the same rule applies here. If you're reading and you're in like Ephesians, as Dan was reading from earlier, and you're just reading about what's going on with the Ephesians at the time, you get an idea of what's going on with the Ephesians. But if you don't take what's going on with the Ephesians and you start to compare it to things God has done, looking back, checking in like Daniel and Isaiah and seeing and lining all these things up, what you end up doing is you get focused on just what's right in front of you and you're missing something greater. You're not taking that giant step back, okay, and seeing the big picture of what God's doing. And so for me, when I started exploring this, God led me to Abraham. And what's profound about Abraham is that he was given a very great and wondrous promise from God. Was he not? From that promise, everything we have is contained in that very first promise. Do you know that? Did you know that? Right? Because when God promised Abraham and his seed, he wasn't talking about his birth child. He was talking about Christ. He was talking about what was to come. Because we got to remember, how does God see time? Is God seeing time linearly? No. God sees time in every point, in every different direction. So he knew from Abraham, the lineage and the seed would lead to his son, who would do everything he would do to then pull us all into the promises that he gave when he gave Abraham. Big picture. Very important big picture. So we'll go to the promise first. And we're going to talk about that because here's where this comes in. Anybody ever said there's a great potential in you? Right? You ever hear that? There's great potential in you, right? What does potential mean? What does potential actually mean? Potential is what you are capable of when you realize that you're capable of it. It's still dormant, but it doesn't, it's no longer potential when you're doing it, right? Because once you've unlocked it and you're doing it, it's now you. It's no longer your potential. It's part of your life. So the idea is that we have to get the potential and get it actively moving in your life. That's the goal today. So we'll start with Galatians. Ken, or no, you're not here. You're here, Dylan. Okay. This is the NIV version, which is perfectly fine. That's actually what I actually was getting it from, so kudos to you, Ken. and reading my brain. It was awesome. I love it. I don't know if it's prophecy, but we'll go with it. So starting at verse 16 in chapter 3 in Galatians says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And this is reaffirming what I was just talking about. The scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. That's very important. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise, but God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. All right? And we're going to, you can put up the next one, which is 22, and we'll get to that in a minute. All right? In Genesis 12:7 is where you can kind of, you can read and research that this is not just, you know, me talking out of my rear end with, you know, another scripture and not having a comparative. Remember, I just talked about the bigger picture, right? So we got to kind of do this dance back and forth between certain books of the Bible. So you go to Genesis 12:7 and it says singularly offspring in certain translations. In other translations, it will say seed. One, singular. Okay? So it wasn't plural. All right? And the next step there is about the law and how that doesn't cancel the promise. That's actually kind of important because today's laws, I don't know if you guys realize, but they are dead set against everything God has promised to you. Every law that is in creation is not encouraging godliness. Try me. The only one I think we have is that we actually have some kind of protections for us as a church. Maybe. Somewhat. Small. But they're more based around religious institutions. If you're actually outrightly probably doing the things that God's told you to do, oh, you probably catch it from the law. You probably catch it. Why do you think Christians get locked up? Think about it. Have you anybody ever known a Christian who's gotten locked up for doing what God told him to do? Keith Tusey will come in and tell you all the times he's been locked up doing what God told him to do. Apparently what God has planned and what the law has planned are on two different spectrums, right? All right? But should we outrightly be going around breaking the law? No. Right? No, we shouldn't. Because here's the thing. If you're doing what God tells you to do, how many people know this? That when you're obedient to God and you're doing what God tells you to do, you're technically fulfilling the law because God fulfilled the law, right? Right? According to Galatians 5:14. So here's where this gets good. Okay? We have to understand the concept of the inheritance. Right? So we're talking about Abraham. And we're talking about all the promises that God gave to Abraham. And now, at the end of that, it talks about how those promises are inherited. How do you inherit something? How do you inherit? The only way you can inherit something is if you are family. You have to be family in order to inherit something. So that inheritance only comes to those who are family. So there has to be a defining factor, a connecting point that connects us directly to Abraham in order for us to have the promises of Abraham. Correct? Right? And we just read how that connecting point was Abraham's seed, who is Christ. So we can clearly see that if we are in Christ, then we are now family, therefore we have an inheritance. Simple. This is the easy part. Now, this one is cool. 22 says, but the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. I will explain that. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. What this is saying is that scripture actually shows people. You ever read scripture and you get convicted of something you shouldn't be doing? That's what that's talking about. See, God's word being truth, holy, blameless, uncorrupted, undefiled, will expose sin. And so when He gave us His Word. He literally is now exposing the sin of the entire world. How many times have you read certain passages in scriptures and now you start to see how all these people that you used to be friends with are sinners? You're like, oh my gosh, you guys are sinners! Repent! And then you kind of get looked at funny. Because it's not godliness. But it's true. So this is what's happening, right? But here's the key. The reason this is important is, how do we receive that promise? What was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. What this is really talking about is, you can't fake it. You can't fake your way into the inheritance. You can't fake your way in your faith in Christianity and your faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't really believe, we had this in the Truth Project, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? If you don't have an active faith to truly believe in the things of God, that you walk them out and practice them daily, you really don't inherit the promises. Because you're not actively walking that out. You don't really believe. And that might not be what you want to hear, but it's a testimony to, that's how this works. It's the only way it works. Think of it this way. Is it a miracle if I go out and walk on water? Is it a miracle? If it's only glorifying me, what's the point of it? What's the reason? See, there's got to be a reason for what's going on in your life. There has to be a reason for the things that God's doing and God's showing and becoming more and more real in your life. The reasons are for what? For you to become an inheritor of the promises. What is that all about? What is that promise we're talking about? Because it seems like, yeah, I'm talking about a promise, right? And we can get wrapped up into that inheritance, and what is it, and what is it, and what is it? What is it we're inheriting? Because the truth is, if we don't understand really what we're inheriting here, we might not really ever know that we're actually doing it. Because we could be sitting here doing that scripture, right? We could be believing and believing and believing and believing, but we don't feel like we're really getting what God's saying, right? God dealt with the last one in Galatians. And here's the final, like, just caveat on top, right? And if you belong to Christ, which we just said, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, because we have his DNA, right? We are grafted in, right? Galatians 4, 4 through 7 talks about that. How you are one in Christ. So that makes us all, the whole term Christian means little Christ. So by being Christ, we are literally Abraham's seed, i.e. heirs. Okay? So, here's what we get to. The magnitude of what God promised Abraham is tremendous. He promised him land and descendants, generations upon generations, when he had no land and he had no child. God promised, you're going to have all that land that you see, and you're going to have generations and generations of children. He literally said, see all those stars? That's how many kids. What? You can't even count them all. The dust in the, on the ground. You can't see it. It's so much. Right? And then through Jesus, we become partakers of that, right? Is that, cause that was what was promised to Abraham, so, and then we just said that, so that means, okay, well, I'm with Jesus, right? Hands, right? We're all with Jesus here, right? Okay? So we have Jesus, and we're like, okay, yeah, me and Jesus. I get this inheritance. Cool. What did I inherit? Can you tell me what I inherited? Did I actually inherit land from the Nile to the Euphrates River? That's what God said he gave to Abraham. From the Nile to the Euphrates. So I mean, I get to go over there and say, yeah, people, it's my land. God said, I'm an heir. I'm part of Abraham's seed. Don't you know? Title deed. Give it to me. No, right? We don't get that, right? We can't claim that? Darn. So looking forward to building my mansion over there. So what did you inherit then? Think about it. It's kind of confusing, right? There's got to be some substance here about what we inherited. Well, what you inherited is called a birthright. What you inherited is a birthright. And in that birthright, you actually are entitled to everything that that sire has. Everything he's created, everything he's built, everything he's established, everything. But there's a really cool dynamic. We have that tying it back to Christ, right? And all that stuff comes around. There's one thing God said to Abraham that was probably the key, and that was the biggest promise, but it gets glossed over, because Abraham's central focus was, I'm a man with no land and I have no kids. And God said, I'm going to give you land and I'm going to give you kids. But you gloss over those, you read that and you go, okay, it was really good. God did those cool things for Abraham. But God said something else. He explicitly made a covenant with Abraham. And that covenant was that he is our God. And that we belong to him. Now, I can't tell you how immensely powerful that sentence is. You have to experience that. He is your God. And you belong to him. God Almighty, one who created all of heaven, all of earth, everything that is in existence, claimed you and wants to be your God. He chose you. You understand what I'm saying? He handpicked, he hand-selected you for something very important. And because of what we also inherit through Christ, we now have something that dynamically changes every aspect of who we are as believers. Okay? All this to get to here. 2 Peter. Roll that beautiful bean footage. 2 Peter, very first chapter, verses 3 through 8. I will read. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's an amen, right? No? We'll keep going. Then maybe we'll get there. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that, and you want to highlight this whole line, through them, the promises that we receive from Abraham, the birthright, that he's our God, everything he has promised, through and through and through, okay? You may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's huge. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Whew! For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That scripture is loaded. Loaded. I don't pull the feel-good scriptures out. I give you the atom bombs. Alright? I like nuclear warfare. And then, real quick, we're going to come right back to this, but can you go to the 2 Corinthians 1 real quick? In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, since we have these promises, yet again, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. This is all important and relevant in where we're going. So, swing back. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Right? That inheritance. Right? The inheritance we've been talking about. Right? know that through those inheritance promises, all the promises God gives, because he keeps them, right? You may participate, huge word, in the divine nature. What are all of these? Let's get that first. I can tell you what some of these are. I want you to go and research it on your own, though. Figure it out. Find out what these contains for you. But here's what these contains for me, and it probably does the same for you. God provides all of my needs. Because part of his promises that he did, if we go back to Caleb, he continued to take care of them every single step of the way. We're hungry. We're hungry. Manna. We're tired of manna. We're tired of manna. Quail. Every time they had need, whether they complained or not. Yeah, they were a bunch of complainers. We know that. But God still met their needs. Every single step of the way. Total darkness. You gotta move. How do you move? By light. How? Pillar of fire. Needs. Every single step of the way. Every single time. All that is included in the inheritance package. FYI. He takes care of every single one of our needs. If your needs aren't being met, you're not receiving that inheritance package. Go back to the first half of the message. Do you really believe? Also, we're called. You have been called. Do you know that? You have been called. You are part of God's elect. You have been called. There is a purpose in your life. He has given you purpose. Fantastic. I don't know about you, but early on in my walk, I struggled with that. I struggled with, what am I good for? What is my usefulness on this planet? Because guess what? Being an artist, they call you a starving artist for a reason. Because you don't eat, because you can't make money being an artist. It just is impossible. Everybody wants it, but nobody wants to pay for it. So, you starve. What's your usefulness? God's given you something. He's called you into something. Okay? And lastly, you get the wonderful privilege of being able to participate in the divine nature. What is divine nature? That's a good question. You read that, you're probably like, oh, that's good. What's divine nature? I want to participate in it. It sounds fun. Doesn't it? Doesn't it sound fun? Divine nature. It sounds like a movie title. Divine nature. Ba-ba-bum. What does that mean? Well, two words, two easy words. Nature is not outdoors. Not talking about leaves and trees and birds and bees. None of that stuff. No, not talking about that. We're talking about character. Character. Divine being God. So divine nature is God's character. Every attribute of God that makes him God is in his divine nature. Well, what are the good characteristics of God that make God God? I'll tell you. He's omniscient. He is omnipotent. And he is omnipresent. That means he sees everything, knows everything, and is everywhere at the same time. In case you didn't know. So what I just told you is that through the promises that, oh, by the way, he keeps, all you got to do is just receive them. Continue to receive promises. Is that hard for anybody to do? Just keep receiving from God everything that he continues to give you and just take it. No, you don't have to pay for it. No, you don't have to give anything extra. Just take the things God's given you and just do one thing with them. Use them as he told you to use them. Do with it what he told you to do. Through those promises, you get to participate, which means you get to voluntarily do this. Participation is voluntary. If you don't participate in it, that's your choice. Free will. You get the privilege to participate in it. But if you choose to want to, I mean, it doesn't freak you out or anything, you get to participate in the divine nature, which means you get to participate in receiving the characteristics and traits of God to manifest in your life. That means that we are omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, because He is in us, in our participation in that divine nature. We get to access that. How cool is that? Wait a minute. What? So, Pastor, let me get this straight. You are telling me that I get to inherit these characteristics that God makes, that makes God God? Well, sure, absolutely. Let's talk about it real quick, all right? Omnipresent. Everywhere in this world at the same time. Body of Christ, put your hand up. Okay, there's probably people over in Asia and Europe, Africa, maybe some in Antarctica. I know there's a base up there somewhere. They might be believers. I don't know. Australia. I said the body of Christ. I didn't say streams, did I not? So that body of Christ is already all over the world. We are everywhere at the same time. We are omnipresent. Thank you, God. Omnipotent. What does that mean? All-knowing. We know everything there is to know. Thank you, Lord, for giving me everything I need to know about this world and my life and your world right here at my fingertips. If you don't know it all, you're just not reading enough. But He's given you His omnipotence. He's given you His word. It's there. Everything you need to know about faith, about spirit, moving, doing, actively living for God, it's right here in between the pages, upside down. It's hard to read it upside down. Omniscient. How do we see everything that's going on in different areas, in different people's lives? How do you see that? I don't know about you, but I've prayed for people. I've laid hands and prayed on people. And I'm speaking in spirit. And I'm accessing God via His spirit. And God's showing me what's going on in your life. And God's revealing things that's going on. How did I see that? You didn't tell me. You didn't reveal it to me. He did. Because He can see. But because we're connected to Him via His Holy Spirit, we now have that same access to see everything. So don't tell me that the divine nature and your participation in the divine nature doesn't exist, because I just showed you how it is. Do you choose to participate in it or not is entirely up to you. But here's the catch. Via our participation, this is how we actively display our faith. Through our participation in the divine nature, people get to see God in action. Because everybody in the world believes God doesn't exist. They don't see Him. They don't hear Him. So they believe He doesn't exist. But when you show up to that person who doesn't believe God doesn't exist, and you turn around and tell them, oh, by the way, God hears you, and God said, this is going on in your life, and He wants to fix it. When they've been sitting at home crying about their life situation, and they don't know what's going on, and through the omniscience of God, via His Spirit, you participate actively displaying your faith and believing that what God said He is going to do, you lay hands on that person, and you pray for them, and God reveals it to you. Tell me how that person's going to sit there and not believe now. How are they going to deny the person and deity whom they don't believe in just became actively real in their life? That's how we're able to do the impossible. That's how we're able to achieve it. We can't do it via ourselves. Our physical bodies can't do enough to display God. We can't. It just doesn't happen. But in order to do that, we do have a responsibility. Because we can't just go actively participating in the divine nature and go, okay, everything's good. I'm just going to keep doing this. And this is all good. There's another thing, right? Because the second half is what? By doing so, we escape, right, the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Well, that's good. I don't know about you, but I like to avoid the corruption and the evil desires of the world. It's not fun. It doesn't sound good at all. I don't like that. But that second scripture, Dylan, can you pull that back up again in 2 Corinthians? So, since we have this, there's our responsibility. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to purify ourselves. How do you do that? We have a good scripture, right? Renewing of our minds through the washing of the word, right? We purify ourselves. How do we do that? We continue to stay holy because we're connected to the knowledge of God. We're connected to the things that reveal those things to us so that we can continue to keep ourselves clean. It's really hard to sin when you're reading the Bible. Seriously, it's very difficult. Don't try it. I'm not encouraging you to try, but believe me, I highly doubt you would succeed. And then the last part, flip right on back. Sorry to bounce you around, Dill. It is work though, right? Yeah. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. You can read all those wonderful words that follow after, but the condition that God is stating here is that we add. Remember when I talked about before I came up and I said that negative one and that positive one cancel out? That brings us back to the baseline. That's your zero, okay? You start at base one. From then on out, everything you do is addition, 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 addition. Every one of those attributes you add to your faith, plus one, plus two, plus three, plus 15, plus 17, plus 21. What does that mean? It seems silly that I'm just using math in this totally, completely ethereal manner, but what it means is that when the enemy comes with his negative one hand grenade he wants to throw in your life, and you're plus 21 in God, guess what? You didn't move. You didn't get budged. You didn't waver. Nothing happened. He immediately lost. He immediately lost and recognized, well, if I'm gonna mess with you, I gotta bring bigger arsenal. So he comes back a week later, and you're still adding to your faith, right? And he thinks, all right, I'm going to get you now. I got my plus five baseball bat, and I'm going to try to club you over the head with it. And you're at plus 32 now. Bink. Didn't work. Nice try. Thanks for playing. Eventually, he's going to get tired of messing with you because he recognized as you continue to add to your faith, he's outmatched. He can't compete with you. You're too godlike. You're too omnipotent. You're too omniscient. You're too omnipresent. He can't hang with you because he already lost to God Almighty. So he ain't going to beat him again. He can never win. So the more of him you reflect, guess what? The less he even tries. He stops bothering you. Praise God. Thank God. There's actually an end to the torment of the enemy? Absolutely. The more of God you add to your faith, you better believe it. The divine nature that we have the privilege of participating in ultimately reveals Christ. Objective. By every word that precedes our lips to the actions that follow them, that's integrity, okay? If we are operating through the divine nature, should we not have results? Right? Does God not deliver on his promises? All right then. So, as believers in Christ, our lives should be in constant display of our participation in the divine nature. We should see his provision in our lives and we should hear about it. I can't tell you how many times God's done something in somebody's life and they share it not one bit. They didn't announce it at church. They didn't tell their friends about it. They didn't say, oh, hey, by the way, I had this thing going on in my life and it was torrential, terrible, bad stuff, but God totally fixed everything and did all this stuff. They don't tell anybody. They just get in their homes and be like, yay, thank you, Jesus. It's nice. But everybody else wants to hear. We should be moving in our calling and working in the fields. We should be connected to our brothers and sisters and share the word so that God is revealed. This is what we are trying to accomplish, not just here at Streams, but as a body and whole. Objectively, we have a mission. Do we not? Great Commission says, go. You don't even need to read the rest of it. Just go. Go and do what, Pastor Dan? Make disciples. Lay on hands. Heal the sick. What's going on? So here's the challenge. After we get this, here's the challenge. Are you participating or are you spectating? That might be tough to deal with. But answer honestly. Are you actively engaging your faith by putting it into action, or are you living vicariously through someone else's? If you're participating in the divine nature, cool, awesome. How are you growing your faith? How are you adding and increasing your faith? And on that note, what are you actually producing? We're responsible to produce fruit, amen? So if you're participating in the divine nature and you are being given these great and wonderful gifts from God, they are meant to produce something. If you are spectating, what is keeping you from participating? It's honest time. It's time to be honest and real with where we are with God, because let's face it, the benefits far outweigh any negative thing. There's no negativity in this at all. If we are in and participating in the divine nature, where's the negative? Where's the downside? There is none. We escape the corruption from the world caused by evil desires. We get to increase our faith. We get all these wonderful perks and privileges of being connected to the source. All those things are available. And on top of it, the inheritance of the promises just keep coming. Where's the negative? The only downside is we keep ourselves from doing it because it's optional, because it's participation. You get to choose. It's your will versus God's will for your life. Who's going to win? It's a choice, right? It's a choice we get to make. Are we going to make that choice today? It's up to you. I'm just going to encourage you. If you're in one section and you're in participation mode, praise God. Awesome. But if you're spectating, I want to just pray that you find out whatever it is that's keeping you from participating and shift gears. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today. I thank you for what you have provided. Father, I pray, Lord, that where we are today, God, we're not there tomorrow. I pray that we recognize that we are in good, loving, caring hands when we entrust our lives with you, God. That, Lord, you have taken care of us, God. You have been faithful, God. You have given us so many great and wonderful things through your promises, even through the inheritance, God. And that you continue to care and bless your children, God. You continue to honor those who recognize your son, God, and have been grafted in through the spirit of adoption, God, and that have been selected and handpicked, God, to be called and to be able to do the work that you've called them to do, God. That, Lord, you continue to provide. You continue to bless. You continue to show your love and your affection for your children, God. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that as you continue to do these great and wonderful things in our lives, God, that we would recognize that the continuation of that is exponentially increased when we participate in your divine nature, God. When we step up and we grab the ball and we throw the pitch, God. That we stand up and we finally take our places, God, in doing what you've called us to do, God. So I thank you, God. I pray, Lord, that it would just continue to move us forward in direction. Your word would continue to encourage us, strengthen us, and build us up, God, as we move out throughout our days, God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, more than welcome to pray with you, Pastor Dan. If not, birthday celebration time over there. We want to celebrate you. We want to make you feel special.